Welcome to episode 293 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Sandy, Lindsay, and George. Are you ready to start traveling again? Even if you're not quite ready. I heard that. Even if you're not quite ready, when you finally do venture out, there are sure to be some changes. This week, we wanted to touch on some of those things that you will need to know when you head to the airport again. So let's get started. So first of all, we need to say that we are recording this before any of us has flown again. Or any of us has done any travel, right?
Yeah. Yeah, nothing.
Wow. It's horrible.
Yeah, me too.
Right before this podcast, I was looking at the Grove Park Inn in Asheville. I'm like, maybe that could be worth it. But we need to get away, people. But so we're guessing at some things, and we're using what's basically been published by journalists and researchers and our own expert opinion on what we assume will happen.
And the government websites are referenced.
Yes. 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 As well.
The most up-to-date information as of today, but you definitely want to check on this stuff.
So the first thing I want to talk about is Real ID, because that was actually when we decided to do this podcast, that's what this whole podcast is going to be about. But we changed it because of COVID and the world situation, but also because Real ID, Sandy, you want to say what's happening?
Right. So Real ID is this new standardized federal ID. It's not a federal ID. You still get it from your state, but it has federal standards. So it takes a little bit more documentation when you go to renew your driver's license or get a state ID, and you get a star on the corner of your driver's license. And it basically shows that you have met a higher level of. It's just more uniform. I mean, basically, after 9/11, they were looking at what the different, you know, criteria were for all the different states to get IDs, and they wanted to make it standardized. So this gives them, this indicates that you have met a certain level of proving who you are and all of that kind of thing. So they've given you a long time to comply, and so states have had a lot of time to, you know, basically get people to switch over and do all this. And it was supposed to be October of this year that you couldn't fly with a driver's license anymore. You had to have a Real ID or a passport. And because of COVID, they've extended that out to October of 2021. But if you're going in to renew your driver's license, you should still get a Real ID.
Well, you say that, but I didn't, because I don't like to go into the DMV. But
whose passport is about to expire?
I didn't think that was going to happen. So yes, I am screwed. What could go wrong, right?
Need this.
Like, is there going to be some sort of worldwide epidemic? Surely not. But I don't expire till March 20th or something. So that said, a passport is a Real ID. So if you normally fly with your passport, that is actually still a Real ID. There's nothing that has to change with that. And you'll notice if you go to get your Real ID at the driver's license office, if you really want to go to the DMV, which I do not, I have this like horrible fear that's completely irrational. It's the same requirements that you need to show for a driver's license. For a passport.
It's a little different. I mean, you have to bring some pieces of mail with your name and address on them. I can't remember how many pieces, but my kids were getting, I have a couple kids who are in the process of getting driver's licenses right now, and I had to renew mine at the same time. So yeah, we had to bring some stuff, and it's kind of hard to find things like official documents with teenagers' names on them if they don't have like a bank account where they get a bank statement or something like that.
Yeah, try when your kid has just changed his name.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, super fun.
Well, here's a fun story. My dad kept his and my mom's passports in a safe deposit box. And they, you know, took them out when we went to London, which was over New Year's. And he pretty much things he threw. He mixed my mom's up with all his like papers that he threw away, and he threw away my mom's passport. And then he had to go through all this stuff to try to get her another passport and a real ID, and everything's closed right now. You can't get either. So my mom was like asking me how she can travel anywhere. And I'm like, oh, well, you can fly with your ID right now, but you need one of those.
And that is the thing. You can fly until October of 2021 with your regular driver's license. Now, it was supposed to be October of this year, but because everything's screwed up. Yeah. And incidentally, this is not the first
time. No, this is like the deadline, third or fourth time. But I lost track of it's so funny. I lost track of the deadlines because they kept pushing it out. And you know how, so I'm not a super morning person unless I'm getting on a plane. And last year in June, Josh and I were going to Chicago and we're at SeaTac and it's, you know, stupid o'clock in the morning and I have my passport and he's got his driver's license. And I happened to glance over and I saw a sign, but it didn't have a date on it. It was like real ID and it was like faded and I couldn't, and I went, shoot. And he's like,
yeah, that's well, not what you said. Like that.
And I said, I think it's nothing because I think it got pushed out again. But I wish I had grabbed your passport. And he's like, I need a new travel agent.
I now always travel with my passport, and I started getting that practice because I didn't want to get the real ID. Not because I think the government's watching me, but just because I hate the DMV that much. That said, my oldest son is getting his driver's license this year in late July, early August. And considering all the mess with the passport office and everything else, I will probably at the same time, because I have to go anyway, I will take my stuff in and get a real ID, which is really burning my butt because I just got a new license last year. I just paid for it because I turned the age that I needed to turn to get a new license. And so, yeah, but just because now my passport is in limbo, I will probably
if you're renewing or if you have children who are getting IDs now, I would definitely just take the extra paperwork and get the real ID so you have it.
I just hate the DMV, Sandy.
Hold no, me. It's not that bad.
Oh, I hate it.
It's would like actually literally like better. The sloths actually get work.
Okay. Yes, because that would be funny.
They're cute.
So let's talk about the passport office, because that's a big bugaboo right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
So all these countries in the Caribbean are opening up, but if your passport expired, or it's
6 months of expiring,
you're not going.
If you go to the State Department website right now, it's going to tell, and this is as of today recording this, but it's going to tell you that we still have a level 4 travel warning, which is basically a do not travel. It's not a requirement that you don't travel, but the State Department is recommending that you do not travel right now. And they have stopped since mid-March, I believe it is. Basically, they sent everybody home. They don't have people in an office renewing your passports. And they do not have the kind of security that it takes, considering how sensitive the documents are that you have to send in to get your passport, to make people able to process those from home. So they're not processing at any level anywhere near what they would normally be processing.
That said, as of today recording, ASTA, the American Society for Travel Advisors, is heavily lobbying Congress and the House to fix that, because passports are not just a way to travel, but they're also a form of official government ID. Yeah. And so they're saying this is not acceptable. And I will also say that today, as of recording, I saw that there are several House members who have said, you're right. This is not.
I've seen senators are stepping up to say that too. It's because if you look at, and this has been the case for several weeks now. And whenever I looked today, the last report they had put out was June the 2nd, and it said still that you cannot apply for, well, if you apply to renew a passport, it needs to be a life or death situation. Otherwise, you're going in the queue, and you need to expect delays, basically. So,
and delays mean we haven't processed anything since mid-March.
Yeah. You can still make an appointment at your local post office or whatever to submit your paperwork, but you need to expect delays. They're not expedited. You can't even pay to expedite it right now. The only thing you can do it right now is if it's life or death situation. So,
and that, if I'm not mistaken, you actually have to show up at the passport office to get that.
Well, and you have to have like a letter from a mortuary or a death certificate. I mean, it's pretty stringent and draconian.
Yes. Well, not to get political, but so I think that the important thing here to know is also that that means that as soon as travel does open up, mm-hmm. You know, I had clients going to Mexico in early September, needed to renew a passport in order to go. 4 months ago, that seemed totally okay. Today, no trip to Mexico. Yeah. So, yeah, they had to change their plans. So that actually, you can't, do not book a trip right now that requires a passport if you are not valid for years to come. If you don't have a passport that's valid, don't book another trip until you have that passport. Am I right?
Yeah, totally. If you're not valid for a year, I would say don't.
Yeah, I was supposed to actually go into Italy in May, and it was canceled, obviously. They rescheduled it for November, but I called them and was like, I can't go in November. My passport expires in March. You have to have 6 months validity to go to Italy. I don't know that I can get my passport before November. And I can't send it in right now because it's still valid and I don't know when I'll get it back. And that's the thing. If you're renewing your passport, you have to send in your old passport. So if you have a passport, if it's expired, go ahead, send it in. It's not going to hurt you. You know, it's expired. You can't go anywhere on it anyway. But mine doesn't expire till next March. So my intention was to renew it in September. But right now I have no idea if that will actually work. So do not plan travel. That trip's gone. So, I canceled it. I can't.
And I can't for those that are going into or planning on going into the local offices, I don't know if all of them are under that the strong plan, the state, Sandy, what is it called? The state, whatever. They, but Seattle's, they're opening in three phases in the summer. So opening offices in three phases, and it really depends on your state where they are with reopening.
The State Department says that too, yeah. It'll be three phases when they
finish. Well, and we don't, like, we're in North Carolina. We don't, our closest is Atlanta or Washington, D.C., which is actually kind of equidistant. Technically, Washington, D.C. is closer, but so we don't have an office that we can just pop over to.
Yeah, here have to send in.
Carolina. It's a significant day trip. We have to get an emergency passport.
Or like you connect in Atlanta or, you know, or something.
Yeah, but you can't get on your plane. If you have a connecting flight, you can't get on your plane. So I had somebody who had their passport stolen in the airport after she got through security. She couldn't find her passport after she got through security. Somebody had stolen it in between. So she ended up having to basically not take that flight, go to Atlanta from here, 6 hours drive. And go take a same day appointment. And that was a Friday. So it wasn't until Monday that she could go to get down to Argentina. It's not an easy process. So even if you're thinking, oh, well, I have an emergency, you might not have an emergency situation if you already know about it. And B, it's not so easy unless you actually live in a town that has an open passport office to go to. So,
right.
Yeah. So, okay, passports, we're done with that. So now we're sort of like, what are we hearing is expected at the airports and the cruise ships and the hotels? Let's talk about that.
So give yourself extra time again. I mean, I am somebody who likes to show up at the airport very early, even though I have really TSA early. Pre-check and I, you know, kind of have been breezing through TSA. I haven't actually heard how these rules are pertaining to people with pre-check. But
I think so few people are flying right now, it's kind of irrelevant. So.
Yeah. But basically, it's kind of, if you think about what they're doing is all to make it so that they touch your stuff less. So it all kind of makes sense whenever you think about it that way. So like you're not going to walk up and hand your boarding pass to them. You're going to scan it yourself. For the small items and stuff that you would normally take out, they want you to have that in a carry-on bag. and not put it in loose in a bin. So you're not going to throw like keys and a cell phone in a bin because it's less things that your things will touch. Food, you can still take food, but you're going to have to bag it so that it can easily be seen, and you're going to pull it out and it's going to be like not in your bag whenever you go through the scanners so that they can see exactly what it is. It's all that stuff. Like if you think about how tightly you pack a bag and then they want to look at it and they start pulling stuff out, it's to avoid that basically so that they're not touching as much stuff. One of the things I thought that was interesting though is, you know, they do want you to know about the 3.4 ounce for liquids and to be, you know, like follow that more stringently so that they don't have to throw away your, you know, whatever, your bottle of water or whatever. But they are allowing 12 ounces of hand sanitizer.
Yeah, that is nice. That's kind of so nice. Backing up like a little bit though, I know somebody who just flew to Alaska and she had to call to get an appointment to be tested for.
Oh. That depends on where you're going, I think.
Yeah, that does. You know,
he got open to this week, and I was reading about them doing the screenings, what the screenings were like when you got there, and how they were testing people. And one of the big tips that person said was to pay to upgrade to the front of the plane so you can get off quicker because of the extra time coming through. Made the people in the back of the plane have to wait that much longer. So,
but it's definitely going to be something you're going to want to think of when you're planning your trip before you know, finding out whether what that specific airport, not only the airport you're departing from, but where you're coming into, what their requirements are. And if you do have to make an appointment in advance, it's something else to think about in your timing.
Well, a lot of that is tied to quarantine. So Alaska is still requiring you when you arrive, and Hawaii also, and other places as well. 14 days when you get there, you have to stay in your hotel room. And I can tell you Hawaii is enforcing it. I think Alaska is also enforcing it very seriously. Like hotel staff are paid well to let people know that you have left your hotel room and you're not supposed to. And so you really make sure you know, because you don't want to say, I'm going on my vacation and find out that you actually can't go. Canada has closed their ports to cruise ships through October. It's serious, guys. It's not like, you know, yeah, I'll just pop over there and pretend like everything's okay. You know, you're not going to fake your way through it. Now, you might get a inexpensive or free COVID test, or expensive for that matter. I think that I saw the Antigua lady said that nobody charged her for the test.
Well, and then here's the thing. She also said that at the airport, she received the notice that she was going to be quarantined and permitted a day quarantine. Mm-hmm. But because of where she was going, the resort that she was going to was okay. So I really think I don't want to do a broad, you know, advisory for anyone, but there is some difference in between where you're going and what they're.
And I think that this stuff can change very quickly too. I mean, you might think you're going to a resort that does not have these rules, but it might only take like, a couple of positive cases from there where everything will change.
You can literally be and policies can change. That's how fast things are happening.
Yeah.
And you need to bring masks, and you need to bring them no matter what, whether you want to wear them or not, whether you think that it's the right thing to do or not, you need to bring them. And for most places, from what I'm hearing, the surgical masks, not the huge filtering masks or whatever, but the ones that they wear in surgery every single time, that's what people are recommending because they're the most comfortable for hot situations.
You mean the disposable ones?
Yeah, the disposable ones that are used for surgery, actual like paper surgical masks. You can have a fabric one if you want, but you're going to be kind of miserable because it might be hot where you're going, especially if you're trying to get away.
The fabric ones are supposed to be washed. I mean, like,
if you have to wash them. Yep,
exactly. The material, the little fibers from the fabric ones can actually cause you to sneeze and irritate you a little bit more depending on how they're made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's better for you to go with the ones. And let's face it, people wear those surgical masks for 12 hours in surgery. So if you're ever going to have a good option, that's going to be it. But you definitely want to take it. It doesn't mean you're going to have to wear it all the time, but you need to be able to wear it.
You're going to need to wear it on the plane the whole entire flight. Right now.
No. Yep. And you're probably going to want to wear it in the airport because although it's more protective for other people against you, you're going to want to wear it in
there. Yeah, but I think some of the airports are requiring it the whole time. Yep. I mean, you should probably go with the thought that that's going to be required and just go ahead and get it in your head that you're going to. Yep.
And I hear this so much, and we'll just go ahead and get that elephant onto the table, although the table won't break, but places are requiring masks, they're requiring social distancing. This is the way it is. If you don't want to go, don't go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible that this has changed our world the way it has. There's a lot of things changing our world right now. It's terrible. But at the same time, there are some things that are happening, changing our world, that are fantastic. It's the way things go. You have to go with the flow. Is it what it was 6 months ago? Nope. No, it isn't. And you can complain about it until you're red in the face, but it's not what it was 6 months ago. Will it be different 6 months from now? Probably. Yeah. As you know, as four people who have watched the world change daily for the last 3 months, we can assure you that. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yes, that's what it is right now. That's what you need to plan for. But 2 days from now, I could give you a completely different story.
Because what I would tell anybody, even if you're planning to travel in, let's say, October, I think you should look at the requirements today and plan on that. Yes. And if you're not required to wear a mask in October, then that's great. But I think you shouldn't even book it if you're not willing to do what they're requiring right now.
With taking a potential test or a blood test or a screening or having any of the things that could happen done or having that mask on for a 17-hour flight, then maybe postpone till next year.
Yep, that's exactly right. Yep. And don't say, well, that's not how it always was. Irrelevant. It's irrelevant. That's not what the world is right now. And I get that that's hard, but in the end, that's what it is.
I think it's probably harder for, depending on where you're from, because I do think the experience is different depending on where you live. If you don't live near a city and you live in a rural area where you're not as affected, then you really might not see this right now. But where we live, Elizabeth, it's very normal to have to wear a mask into a grocery store, you know? And to feel well, but I think Lindsay's even more strict than we are.
Yeah, I was going to say, we still have a string of people who think that this is, you know, going against their rights, whereas Lindsay probably is in a state where everybody's like, I kind of need a mask right now.
Very, very seriously down the West Coast. This is Washington's following kind of California and even Canada on the strictness of what's happening here. And we have an entire town on the island where if you're in city limits, you have to wear a mask whether you're outside or not. It's not a courtesy for your fellow human. And look, I'm asthmatic. The first time I put one on, I had an asthma attack. I've had two asthma attacks in a mask. Not fun. But I did switch to the paper from the cloth, and I just don't put myself in situations. I mean, you shouldn't be at Costco for 8 hours anyway, you know, or wherever you're going. So I don't know. I will be honest, I'm dying to get on a plane. I really like tomorrow, if somebody said, let's go and I could go, I would go. But I, in the back of my head, I would be wondering, how long in an airplane could I have a mask on without having to take a bathroom break? So just think about that. And it's not, you know, it's not going to be like it was for a while. I mean, what do they project? I read one article that said that travel may not see kind of what we considered normal until 2023. But
I haven't seen that.
But honestly, that's the thing too. Everybody's making guesses, and that is so important for you to take the news as you got to understand. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. So whatever anybody publishes is totally based on conjecture, and so don't take that ever as 100%. It is what Lindsay said is true. You need to plan for your trip based on the here and now, but understand that by the time you go, it could be very different. I have people who are going to Disney World in February who are like, So should we go ahead and buy our tickets because we might not be able to get in? I'm like, well, first of all, you can't. The whole system is down. Yeah. So I appreciate that you think that that's a good idea. But at the same time, no. I mean, they're trying to figure out tomorrow. So we're really in a different place. And it is really hard for us when we're used to a world where things are much, you know, it's funny. 8 months ago, if I had said the world is very predictable, you all would have laughed at me. The world is not predictable. But now we're like, the world was so predictable before. We all knew what to expect. Like there were things that we especially just totally took for granted. About
the Disney element, because we, you know, there was a system in place. I mean, you planned things 180 days in advance for this and this, you know, you had a certain time and now we are upended.
Big time.
But some of us remember when you could only make reservations 60 days in advance, and it was glorious because it's way easier to decide where you want to eat 60 days in advance than it is 180 days. So there's pluses and minuses to every side of it. And I will say this too. I've listened to a lot of talks from cruise lines, hoteliers, all-inclusives. These places will be cleaner than my house has ever been when you get there.
They always were cleaner than my house ever.
They always were cleaner than my house, but they have access to these high-end chemicals that you can't use. They're spraying down things. So literally getting on a plane, people are like, ooh, somebody was just sitting in that seat. All right, now I'm like, I know that they have cleaned that seat. They have like done the spray thing, that whatever germs were left in that seat, the chances of me getting are very low because they have sprayed the heck out of it. Whereas the chances of me picking up germs from the dog sitting in my couch, pretty high. I'm probably going to get sick from that.
Static,
so,
or whatever, that one article we were talking about, those fancy new cleaning machines that do everything on a high-tech level, and they're using those for all the cruise cabins, and I'm thinking this is going to be like the cleanest experience you've ever had. And
well, there's one cruise line who's boasted that they have installed new filters on all their cruise ships that filter up to like the 0.3 microns or whatever. I'm making that up. It's something about microns and some number. It's one of the same cruise lines that I've been on. And I'm like, oh, the smell of smoke on this cruise ship is like in this area I cannot deal with. And it's the same cruise line. I'm like, well, maybe this casino won't be quite so rank if they put in these new, like these are high-end hospital grade filters. Okay. I'm interested, you know, like I feel like this would be a safe place to be. So I think that's important too, is talk to your travel agent about, you know, where are you thinking about going? What are the standards they're trying to live up to? Because I promise you that these hoteliers, these all-inclusives and these cruise lines are doing everything they can. They are putting every last penny they have into making sure these places are clean. And I would really feel more comfortable on a cruise ship right now. And this is just me, my opinion, no scientific here, but based on what I've heard, I would feel more comfortable on a cruise ship than I would at my grocery store.
Definitely. Right. 100% agree with you on that. And
I don't know who touched the eggs. I don't know who touched the hamburger helper. I don't know who squeezed that lettuce. I don't know who touched that avocado.
That makes me feel better because one of my friends was just this weekend telling me I was crazy for wanting to go on my cruise in August.
The airlines and the airports are doing the same thing. I mean, we're going to see them treating baggage in a way we've never seen before. You might have to have your baggage go through, you know, if you've ever traveled internationally, it's got to go through a little decontamination to make sure you're not bringing home any.
I wonder if it'll kill bed bugs.
Wouldn't that be nice? Fantastic.
Wonderful side effect.
I know, right?
Has anybody read anything else about airlines with, because I know none of us have flown since this all started. I'm curious about carry-on rules.
There's nothing so far that I've seen that's official. So there have been rumors, you can't have carry-ons, you can't, but right now nothing official. So there's also rumors that they are not selling middle seats, but there's also complete proof that they have put people in middle seats. So
totally again, full flights,
you need a mask.
I'm looking for a United flight next month. I need to fly down to Houston, and I got as far as the seat picking screen and only aisles and windows were available.
Oh,
Though they're apparently at this point not selling middle seats.
So the ones that I've seen have been for basic economy, which actually kind of surprised they're still selling it. I'm like, why are you selling a basic economy fare when you don't have people flying? But and that was, those people were saying they were being put in middle seats. So we'll see. When are you going to Houston, George?
I think around the 20th of July.
Okay, so we'll hear. That's and I've got cool. friends who, yeah, I've got friends who are starting to travel next week, so I'll be watching with an eagle eye, because I have some flights I want to take in July. I have a friend in Chicago that I want to go see, and I want to go see my sister in New York, which is the hotbed, but she's not in the city right now. So
New York's getting better, though.
I know. I'm ready to book some flights. I got to tell you, I'm ready to just do it. And I'll wear my mask. And yeah, I love my house. I love working here. I work from here all the time, but I need to go somewhere.
I know. I feel like if I don't get out of here soon, that I'm going to just never leave the house.
It's so tempting. I mean, I don't know about your pets, but my dog has gotten so used to me being home.
Yes.
My dogs are loving it because they have five people.
I'm leaving her to go to the grocery store and I come back and she's acting like I've been gone forever. What's she going to do when I take my first trip again?
Well, and we're heading into summer, so my kids who would have been in school until now are now, so it's like she's going to have an extended period of people being home. And so we get it. If you want to travel, but you've got to be ready that it's not your grandma's travel.
It's some different stuff, but you know. Yep. Hopefully passports will come back soon. I would really love to see that.
Yep.
Keep Real ID in the back of your mind because it's going to be a thing. You know, it's still coming. And then if you are flying, you know, think about the TSA. Think about the things that are going to make the TSA touch less things.
Yep. It's a really good time to be minimalist in your packing. It's a good time to practice that for sure. So, don't even think. I mean, you know, if you go someplace that has great food, eat it there. Don't bring it home. Don't do any of that stuff that they might dig through your bag. Don't bring a full bottle of shampoo in your carry-on bag. Just don't do it.
Big thing of sunscreen.
Big water bottle that isn't even yours, that your friend has already cleared TSA.
Don't throw that away.
Holding the bag. Yeah. Not that's ever happened, Sandy. So, yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing too. Don't go to the airport thinking you know how to do this. You may fly all the time. Just go like you've never been there before, because for the next few months, even if you go tomorrow, three weeks from now, it may be a totally different experience. Every time you go to the airport for the next few months, just expect that it will not be anything.
And do a little meditation, take a little extra patience with you. I mean, I know I've joked about this before, but this whole thing has made even the trip to Costco just as stressful as TSA used to be. So now we've reached that level of everything is the most minor thing is amped up just a little bit. So just keep in mind that everyone is going to be learning. This is going to be new for everybody, and have a little patience in these people who are working in these situations and having to deal with all these new regulations and things like that. And so just have a little.
And none of this has to do with you. You know, no matter what you know about science and medicine and how much you know about the coronavirus and how much you know about political science and the world, the way the world is working right now, it doesn't matter. You're going to do the regulations are what they are. And if you agree with them or you don't agree with them, if you want to travel, this is the way you go. And it won't be so bad if you just...
It won't be forever.
Because in the end, you get to go somewhere and you won't be looking at the same four walls and you're looking at for 3 months.
If that's what I'm thinking about is the payout. If I get to be somewhere else, and I'm not even kidding, I am going to skip through the airport like a Disney princess.
I've been talking about driving to New York to see my sister. Driving. This is me, 10 hours driving. You guys know this is crazy, Elizabeth talking. I am not doing anything like that. But there's a part of me that's like, if it means I can go.
I thought about driving from Washington to Wisconsin to see my family, but I was like, 33-hour drive each way.
Yeah. Whoa.
That's crazy talk.
That's like 3 days minimum. Wow.
This is where we reach this point. We're so desperate to travel.
100%. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on outlandertravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly!